to be joined by head coach Michael Duff. We'll start with Jack Conlon from BBC Radio Leeds.
Thank you. Michael, good to speak with you. I'll just start with your latest recruit, Tawanda. We've just spoken to him now. How pleased are you to get that one done?
Yeah, it was a late one. Just brings a little bit something different to what we've already got in the squad. Just felt in the last couple of weeks when we got into that top third, we've maybe lacking someone that can maybe open, beat a man, not unlock a door. So don't think you can ever have enough creativity in the team. We're delighted to have him. He's obviously got a good pedigree. We've got a good relationship with the parent club. Had a loan at Derby, did okay there. We're delighted to have him. You can probably tell by just speaking to him, he's an infectious type character. He's buzzing to be. It helps that he knows a couple of lads as well. So hopefully he'll be a positive addition.
Is he someone you've sort of had the radar on for a while, or was that a bit of a late opportunity that cropped up?
It was a late one. It's someone you've known about, because he's, when you're going through all these things, like I said, you've got lists, and he's been on the list in terms of he's a type of player that we didn't think we had. And when it became available and there's a couple of other things happened, we thought, no, it's something that we need. And again, repeating myself, it's you'd rather have too many options than not enough options. And he's proven. It's not a first-time loan. He's a young lad. He wants to do well, so he's hungry as well. I think, like I said, but repeating myself, but I think he's hopefully be a good addition.
Just speaking to him there as well, he touched on his own versatility and the fact that he can sort of slot into any of those attacking areas. Was that a big plus for him as well?
Yeah, he plays anywhere across the front four. So whether we want to change shape, whether we want to play with one really attacking wing back, he can play as a 10, he can play as a 9, a right winger, a left winger, so brings versatility as well. So again, gives you different types of options in game.
The other sort of move we saw on the flip side as well was Bojan going out on loan. Just what's the thinking behind that?
I think Bojan needed a break. It just wasn't working for him. Wasn't working for him, wasn't working up for us. It's not a personal thing. Bojan, ultimately, I think he scored 2 goals in 35 games and in 12, 13 months. And it's not to say it won't work, but sometimes you just a break. He had a difficult start under me because he missed quite a chunk of pre-season, and players will always tell you when you miss the start of pre-season, it is difficult to catch up. As strange as that sounds, because supporters will think we should just get fit. But you missed a big chunk of that. And again, it came about quite late. But hopefully, we'll see what happens in the summer. It's not like he's been written off and he's dead. But I think it worked best for all parties that we just have a break.
Now you're at the end of January as well. You've got your squad set for the rest of the season. What's your take on where that is now? Do you feel stronger now than you were when you entered the window?
When we're fully fit squad, yeah, I think we are. There's no getting away about the injuries are hurting us at the minute. But in terms of at the 1st of January, are we better on the 31st? Well, the 3rd of February, whatever it was. I think a fully fit squad is better than the fully fit squad that started the way into the window. So, I think it's been a positive window.
Personal for you as a manager as well, Michael, is there almost a sense of relief when the window shuts? You've not got that speculation, at least again for another few months. You know what you've got now for the next 3
Always the same. Every manager will tell you the same thing. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, whether you're happy with the group or you're not happy with the group, that's the group. And the players have to get their head around that as well, whether they want to be here, whether they don't want to be here. I'm not talking about my group, I'm talking about generally in football. Is what it is now. So all agendas have got to go out the window. You need the team to succeed. So if you're out of contract or you're trying to move or you think you should be playing at a higher level, you have to do well between now and the end of the season to get to where you want to get to, whether it's a new deal here, a new deal somewhere else, a move somewhere else. Even if you don't get a contract here, if the team does well, you'll get a better contract somewhere else. So it's just, it unmuddies the water in terms of people's agendas and opinions and agents. Right, that's the focus, crack on now. So yeah, I think everyone in my position would say exactly the same thing.
Just reflecting on Northampton last weekend, naturally you were frustrated after the game. How do you assess that performance and that match now, a few days on?
Exactly the same, nowhere near good enough. I was angry. I think the supporters were angry as well, quite rightly so. but you don't want to throw the baby out of the bathwater as well. So it was just it was a bad week last week. There's no getting away from it. I can try and dress it up as much as you want. It was a bad week. But that performance was the worst performance by a country mile. And it was a lack of physicality. And that's the worst thing to be labelled as a football player, that someone wanted it more than you did. You know, Birmingham, I thought we got beat by one moment of quality. The Bolton game was different. We maybe lacked a bit of quality, but it wasn't through endeavour or anything like that. And I think I kept it pretty short afterwards. But I evidenced everything that I said on Monday morning. We had quite a big meeting with them Monday morning, and it wasn't me just stood at the front pontificating, saying, do this, don't do this, don't do that, because that's pointless. So we got them to open up a little bit, and we'll see if it worked or not. But I think it felt that Tuesday, Thursday have been two really good training sessions since. So you can mope around and feel sorry for yourselves in this game. No one feels sorry for you. And there's always excuses. But there was no excuse on Saturday. No, there's no point trying to pull the wool over people's eyes or anything like that. We weren't good enough. And we got beat. But I've also said that you'll have four or five of those games this year, and don't worry about them, you'll get beat. And we did. The same as you'll have four or five where you're really, really good and you win 3 or 4-0, and we've already had two or three of them as well, so don't worry about them. So you do worry about it if it's back-to-back and it's week in, week out. But that one lack of fight, lack of energy, with and without the ball, that's the thing you can't have. That can't keep going on, and it's a one-off. We need to make sure it stays a one-off.
I think one of the big frustrations, certainly from fans that were getting in touch with us, and I think you referenced in your post-match as well, was the fact that it took being 3-0 down to sort of kick into gear. How do you go about rectifying that, and is it an easy or a hard fix?
It's easy to play 3-0 down. No pressure on. One thing we've sort of said to the players a little bit is there's a big responsibility playing for this football club. So if you want to play for a big club, expectation comes with it. So being able to deal with the crowd and being able to deal with the expectation at 0-0. It's easy to play 1-0 down football. Well, you're 1-0 down now, you've got nothing to lose because you've already lost the game, essentially. And again, I don't want to label the group because they've been really, really good. They've not become a horrible group. They've not become a terrible team in a week. The same as what, you know, we went a few games unbeaten and we didn't think we cracked it then either. It's just a constant progression. And football never goes from there to there. Hopefully it does that trajectory, but it has its ups and downs. We need to put it, we won't put it down to a bad week. We need to understand why it was a bad week and then try and fix it. And part of, in answering your question, is players having to deal with that, the responsibility of representing a big football club in this level.
Looking ahead to this weekend, team news-wise, have you any fresh injury concerns ahead of it?
It's not been a great week on the injury front. So Ruben Ruskin's got a whack in the first half, done well to play for the rest of the... We took him off at half-time, he's had a scan and doesn't look great. So he's due to see a surgeon on Monday or Tuesday next week, so they've seen the scans that don't look good, but until the surgeon gets actual physical hands on him, we won't know, but he won't be back anytime soon. Reece Healy landed awkwardly. He is booked in for surgery next week, and we probably won't see Reece again this season. So, I'm not sure what someone's done, but it's been difficult with injuries and just added to it. David Kasumu's back in full training. That's the positive of this week, that he's had a full week's training.
I guess, naturally, any injury is a blow, but for Ruben in particular, having just come to the club, he obviously had that red card in his first game, and now to get this, that's a tough one for him.
Yeah. Like I said, he's not quite sure what he's done. He's never really been injured that often and never had a red card before. So he's had an interesting month. But I just said there's loads and loads of excuses, and you've got to work with the players that you have got. We need to look after them. You know, Reece has had a difficult time from injury point of view, but we need to make sure we look after him from a human being point of view. He can still have an impact on the team in terms of he's going to be in every day and working around the place, but we need to support him properly. And Ruben, we don't know the timescale of it yet because, as I said, we need an expert opinion. It's been imaged. Doesn't look great on an image, but until a specialist sees him, we won't know that length of time.
Tom Leasy, expect to be back?
Yeah, Leasy, he'll be fine. He'll have to play with a mask. which might do him a favour. He's a brave lad, and it's the way they build them now and they mould them to your face. They look worse than what they are. He's trained in it today. He's quite comfortable, so he'll be available for selection.
And last couple from me, Reading. What's your sort of read on them at the moment? How they're going?
Really young, energetic. So again, if you don't show levels of energy, we'll get beat. They've got some quality. They're sniffing in and around the playoffs as well. So they'll be thinking they can come here, beat us, and they're right on our coattails. So change of manager hasn't really changed much. I know Noel quite well, but in terms of they've carried on the good momentum. Lost Sam Smith, which we'll have to wait and see whether that hurts him or not. But he's a good player. But they're definitely a set way of playing. Really good energy and quality in there as well. So we a lot of it is on us. We're at home and we need to react off the back of last week. But if we think we're at home, we're just going to win. We've been burnt by that one a couple of times. They're a good team who will hurt us if we're not at it.
And you mentioned there that the part of that chasing pack, that gap's got a bit smaller in the past week now between them. I think there's four teams there or thereabouts and yourselves. How do you go about ignoring that, putting it to one side and just sort of focusing on this game in isolation?
It hasn't changed. We didn't focus. It's not like we looked at the table and thought, oh, we've got a chance all of a sudden at the top two. We don't do that. We ultimately, we're fifth in the league. We're 4 points clear of the playoffs. We've a game in hand. So you can take it in isolation, you can fit whatever narrative you want to that. We need to show a reaction from Saturday. And as always, we'll try and win the first half. And if we don't win the first half, we'll come in, put music on, rejig a few things and try and win the second half. And don't get obsessed with outside noise, good and bad. We know we need to be better to pick up 3 points. It's hard to win a game of football. And sometimes forget people, when you go on a bit of run, when you don't win a game, when you don't lose a game, you almost take it for granted. It's like we'll win next week, win it next week. Well, we're just going to wait, and we know it's not easy, so we need to fight a little bit harder.
Thanks, Michael. Best of luck.
Cheers.
Jack, we'll just come to half the difference from where Terry is.
Good afternoon, Michael. When you spoke last week, it seemed as though there wouldn't be any action going into the end of the transfer window. Was it a late move that you were expecting for Tawanda Chiruewa, or was it something off the back of the Northampton game that you saw and felt like he could make a difference to your squad?
Probably a bit of both. Like I said, he can play anywhere across the front four. Obviously, we've got the news of Rhys fairly early. The Bojan thing was happening as well, so we think we needed a little bit of extra cover in that part of the pitch. But he was someone that we knew of. It's not like it was just a random one that got through us on deadline day. It's someone we'd been talking about for 3 or 4 days. So yeah, it was a late one, but as I always say, you've always got plates spinning. You know, this time last week we thought we were done. Football moves quickly. Like I said, we've probably got two operations since the last time I spoke to you in a week. That's where he was at.
Elsewhere in the squad, Josh Caroma was seen training earlier this week. He missed out at Northampton with a quad issue. Is he back available for Reading?
Yeah, so where we're at injury-wise, we couldn't take a risk with Josh. He felt just a slight tightness in his quad, but you know, the amount of injuries that we've got, putting someone on who's maybe at risk, we'd probably end up tearing it, so we didn't want that. So Josh was, he'll be available for selection at the weekend.
Just last on the injuries from me, Nigel Lomvijk still out missing. How far are we off from seeing him return to action?
I think Nigel's got another scan next week that sort of ourselves and Wolves want to see where he's at. He's probably the next one back, but it'll be at least a couple of weeks, I'd imagine.
Okay. Are we likely to see any sort of changes to the system on Saturday? Obviously, now players missing out that perhaps wouldn't have hoped to have been missing. Is that going to impact how you line up on Saturday on the field looking at it?
I'll pick 11 players. I think it's a modern-day thing. People are obsessed with formations. It's most teams have two formations now, in and out of possession. And one of the reasons why we brought T in is it gives us a bit more flexibility within that as well. So people get fixated with it. You know, when Josh Caroma was playing, he wasn't playing left wing back, I can assure you that now. And he played for 3 months, but everyone still thought we were playing 3-5-2. when Mikael Miller was playing, we played in possession, we were 3-5-2, but anyone that would have noticed, but every time we turned the ball over, he went and played left wing and we defended in a 4-4-2. So you're trying to be adaptable and flexible, because one thing I don't want to be that stubborn that, no, this is my way, this is the way it works, and you end up dying on your sword that way. Football moves quickly. You need to change with it. I've been pretty flexible in terms of other teams that I've had. That's what we have been doing. So, you know, if I tell Raj, right, paint it up a 4-3-3 and then play 3-5-2, will people notice or not? I don't know. You know, I know what's going on. The people at the football club, within the football club, know what's going on. And hopefully that's the thing. We went unbeaten playing basically 4-3-3. But because we didn't get beat, no one looked at it. So it's one of those things. I can't get obsessed by outside noise. I need to pick what I think is the right team in the right setup for whoever we're playing.
Thank you for clearing that up. Just looking at last time against Reading, unfortunately they did get the better of your side after taking the lead through Matty Pearson. How crucial is it that once taking the lead, your team kill the game off and show 3 points?
I think that was in the middle of about. I thought we were good down there. I thought we deserved to win the game. I thought probably where we were mentally as a group, we were a little bit fragile. We gave, I can't remember, two quick corner, I think one of them was. I was almost found a way to lose that game. That wasn't a performance-based loss. That was a mentality-based loss. So we know what that. They've already beat us once this season. They're in and around the playoffs, so we need to be better. And we have been good as a general rule. In the last four and a half months, we've been all right. We haven't been brilliant, we've been all right. And again, taking individual games and individual mistakes out of it, are we at a better place than what we were when we last played Reading? Yeah, we are. But we need to show that on Saturday.
And finally from me, after a slight dip in form, what do you have to tell your side to ensure that this doesn't really snowball and affect you, have a major impact on your promotion chances?
I don't think day-to-day habits need to change. Obviously, emotions get in the way, and Saturday wasn't definitely, I didn't say too much, but it wasn't a particularly nice two sentences that I told him. Monday was, there's some uncomfortable conversations, and showing them without trying to humiliate them, but just showing that that's unacceptable, that can't happen again. And they've been honest enough to take it. And like I said, the training, the response has been really good. No one's been moping around the place. There's things going on in the world that are a lot worse than losing a game of football. Don't get me wrong, it's been a horrible week for everyone involved at the football club, and I'm sure the supporters have felt it as well. But all we can do is get your head down, work hard, and as we did earlier in the season, and it's, if you keep winning enough games, you'll end up where you need to end up. But you've got to put the work in and not just assume that we're at home or we're better than them or anything like that. It's, once you think you've got football worked out, it has a nasty habit of biting you. We've had a bite, can we react again?
Thank you, Michael, and good luck on Saturday.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Arthur. We'll just come to Leon Wobshaw from the Yorkshire Post last.
Hiya, Michael. Just wondering, what are the issues with Healy and Ruskins again?
Ruben had a hyperextension in his knee. He just got, as he turned out, I think it was Tom Eves clattered him, and he had a real hyperextension in his knee. Didn't look great on the video. Reece has landed awkwardly, and I think there's, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but he needs, I think it's some sort of cartilage damage. I can't give you the specifics, but yeah. I know that he's in for surgery next week, and it doesn't look like we'll see him again till the summer at least.
With Tuanda, I mean, it seems to be someone, a bit of unpredictability off the cuff. Is that sort of fair to say? I mean, he'll probably keep maybe some opponents guessing, and he's obviously got versatility.
He's... he's just a little bit different. He'll get bums off seats. He'll probably drive people mad at times as well. But young, good quality, energetic, wants to be here. Hopefully he can add to the top part of the pitch. As you know, like I said, with the bodies that we've got out in terms of creativity, you look at people with pace and power, people like Ruben and Mikel and, you know, Cass got real good physicality as well. He can go past men from a different area of the pitch, but we've been missing that part of it in recent weeks.
With Dion, he's obviously, I mean, his graft's there for all to see. Is it sometimes, can you sort of work too hard when you're trying to score, that sort of thing? I mean, he's obviously desperate to get off the mark, isn't he?
Yeah, a little bit of that. We've had a conversation with this week. Don't go chasing it. You know, we've not helped him. We've gone from creating the most chances in the league to not hardly creating a chance in a week for different reasons. But he's a centre forward. He wants to do well. You know, he's got a real hunger, and his appetite is definitely still there. And it's sometimes he's doing his second thing first. So rather than taking the ball in, setting, and then passing it, he's looking to set it to get off to make a run. And so we just tried to just calm him down. He's not become a bad player in 3 weeks. We don't think we're that good of coaches that we can make someone that much worse in 3 weeks. He's a good player. He's proven. So we need to find out what his strengths are in terms of intrinsic movements, relationship building. But no, we haven't helped him. I don't think settle in, because he's walked into a team that's been doing well, and we've had a difficult couple of weeks, and he's been part of that. Yeah. But that's not on him; that's on us.
Yeah, I was just thinking it's coming up to the time of year. I think was it Steve Bruce says the daffodils start to come out, and you touched on it earlier. You know, there's no noise with the transfer window, and you know, good dressing rooms come together. They can you can't see the winning line, but you know it's not too far away the finish line. This is when good groups, senior players, call it. Everyone comes into their own, keep out the noise.
Yeah, I think the main... At no point this season that we thought we've had any eggs in the dressing room. And normally, you know, it always makes me laugh when a new signing or you see a player interview and they go, oh, we've got a great set of lads. They say that no matter what, but there generally is a couple of eggs in there. And we've not had that. We've had... Well, they've been let each other off the hook a little bit too much, and like I said, turn into individuals a little bit too much, which I think, without stating the obvious, people have seen that in games. Yeah. But the togetherness of the group have been really good. It's funny, I've literally just walked out of a conversation with Hoggy, just had a little chat with him, and you know, with the results and everything, but the lads are in a decent place. Be careful with the language that you use now, because you get tripped up on everything you say on these types of things. But there are no eggs. They genuinely all want to do well for themselves and for the football team. And like you said, I don't know how many games are left now. I've lost count. I know the next two games. That's it. Couldn't even tell you we play after that. So just focus on the first half. But just show a better reaction. And again, even Saturday, they're 3-0 down. That's the point where they could really jack it in. And it wasn't a case of not caring. They just weren't energetic enough and didn't have enough desire in that. Or they thought it was going to be easier than the first hour of the game. But it's not like they completely sacked it off and at 3-0 just thought, you know what, just get me off the pitch. They were fighting. And again, it's not me trying to dress it up in any way. The supporters think he's trying to soften. The players know what I thought of the performance. They know what the supporters thought of the performance.
Yeah.
But it's important that there's a bit of... context to the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
I know Raj tried to dress it up after the game. Was, oh, it's only 3 defeats in 4 months. It's not. It's 3 defeats in a week. So and they know that isn't good enough. But there is a little bit of perspective in terms of they have earned a little bit of credit, hopefully.
Yeah, and you probably saw finally the bits of anger. You've got some good lads there, and they're probably angry in a good way with each other when you had the meeting on Monday. I would have thought you just.
It wasn't so much anger, but it's getting them to be open and honest enough with each other. It's great when things are going well, everyone gets on with each other, but the real people in your life tell you the truth. And sometimes it's difficult to take a bit of criticism, as long as it's constructive and as long as it's honest and it's coming from a good place. No one likes getting told they're not doing very well or that they haven't had a good performance. You know what I mean? I don't enjoy going over to clapping the supporters, getting told how bad I am that week. But you've got to take it, it's part of the job. And the players are exactly the same. Rather than me just hurling abuse at them, I just need to tell them what they've done wrong and how we can improve it as a group. You know, because it can't be that, you know, when we win a game, it's all brilliant, and when we lose a game, it's the players' fault. We're all in it together, supporters as well. And it's having that sort of, just that emotional control, really, that this is why we're good, this is when we're not, and the correlation between the two performances, and we know when we delivered that side of it, or when we've not been good enough, there are certain patterns that we need to eradicate, and then it's up to us to educate them, but then it's up to the players to deliver it as well.
Best of luck on Saturday as always, Michael. Thank you.
Cheers, Leon.
Cheers, man. Thank you very much, everybody.